Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music.
Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, Episode 32, How to Protect Your Identity from Theft.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host, and you are watching the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast. I want to introduce you to today's guest. This is his second time on our show. We've got another topic that he is an expert at that you're going to want to hear. Art Maines. Art is a practicing clinical therapist, and he's also the author of Scammed, 3 Steps to Help Your Elder Parents and Yourself. He has been a speaker on elderly fraud prevention and recovery at both the state and national level. Drawing on his own experience helping his 83-year-old stepfather recover from a series of devastating scams and his own clinical skills as a practicing therapist, Art has a unique perspective on this growing problem. He's trained professional groups and senior organizations on topics related to elderly fraud recovery and prevention, and has consulted with scam victims' families locally and nationally. And last time I spoke to you, Art, we talked about elderly fraud, but it also brought up the topic of identity fraud in general. And that's why I've invited you back. We're going to talk a little bit about identity fraud today. Welcome back to the podcast.
Well, great. Thank you, Kaylin. It's a pleasure to be back with you and your listeners again.
So just, again, give people a little overview about you, how you came to be an expert at this. Tell them the story again.
Right. Well, sadly, it was because of personal experience. Back in 2009, my stepfather, Bill, who was a part of my life for 46 years, actually longer than I knew either of my birth parents, was the victim of a series of scams and lost just over $70,000 to a phony sweepstakes scam. And one of the big concerns that we had as we were working through the aftermath of this was that he could potentially have been the victim of identity theft as well, because many times in these situations, there's different layers to this or different kinds of complexity. And thankfully, in Bill's case, the identity theft was not a factor, but it is for so many other victims. Virtually every talk or speech that I give, I have people come up to me and tell me a story about their credit card was hacked, or one lady had her medical records hacked and she was paying for someone else's medical procedure. And it's just a rampant problem. In fact, it is, according to the Federal Trade Commission, the number one scam or fraud perpetrated these days.
Oh, really? You know, it's funny that we're talking about this today, because just yesterday, and we're pre-recorded, but just yesterday in real time, as you and I are talking, I had purchased something online, which I do a lot of. I mean, my business is online and digital marketing,
right.
So I make a lot of purchases online, and test products. And I remembered that it was probably time to make a credit card payment as I'm buying this thing. And I thought, let me go over and check my credit card and make sure that I'm up to date with my payment. And I saw there were 5 pending transactions. And I also know that we had just finished the holidays. I really wasn't making any purchases. And I looked, there were 2 airline tickets. There were other travel related things. Clearly none of it mine. One was on KLM, another was on Emirates Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
It was over $5,000 worth of charges that were sitting there pending. Right.
Wow.
So I immediately called the credit card company. Naturally, you know, they helped me through the whole thing. They were Capital One. Shout out to Capital One.
Yeah.
They're very good with their fraud protection. But I had seen it before they even had gotten back to me, because it was literally just happening. So you really have to be careful. And you know, you and I are both boomers. We've talked about that before,
right.
And that's the focus for this podcast. But I'm sure this is an equal opportunity crime. It's not just boomers that have to worry about it.
Well, definitely. And what's interesting is the Federal Trade Commission's Consumer Sentinel Network, which is made up of Better Business Bureaus and law enforcement agencies and that sort of thing, releases an annual report every year in February. And the one that came out last year for 2013 showed that people 50 and older, which I think now all the boomers are going to be turning 50 or have turned 50.
Yeah, they did last year.
Exactly,
the last boomer turned 64. 50.
Yeah, so people 50 and older were the largest demographic group that the Federal Trade Commission tracked for both frauds in general and identity theft. So it's boomers and our parents.
Right, right. And the other thing to keep in mind, since we're thinking about it, is, you know, we've talked about boomers being the sandwich generation. We're worried about our parents, but we also often have young enough children, adolescent children, and sometimes even younger than adolescents. And you have to worry about them, too. I mean, when I was growing up, I had to go out and get a Social Security number because I wanted a job when I was 16. Yep.
Right.
With all three of my children, they were given Social Security numbers, you know, before we left the hospital, that paperwork had been put in, and they've had Social Security numbers their whole lives. So you even have to worry about it on their behalf.
You really do. The next largest group after people 50 and up was young people aged 20 to 29. And so that would be our children's age,
most likely. That's the millennials. That's the other big generation.
Well, it is. So this is an equal opportunity crime. The identity thieves are going after everyone, even babies who, I mean, how would you have a credit report when you're two or something like this?
Right.
But they get a hold of a child's information and they can set up credit accounts and all sorts of things.
Right.
And it may be years before anyone knows any of this has gone on.
Right, because you're not thinking of it in terms of your children. You're not worried about it yet. So give us some tips that we can be following so that we don't not become, you know, victims of identity fraud.
Okay, well, it's important to recognize that there are multiple ways that identity thieves do their dirty work. One easy way to prevent any kind of identity fraud is in how you handle your sensitive information. So one of the first things I tell seniors and others when I do my presentations and speeches is to make sure that you have a shredder for your personal information. I just recently wrote a blog post, which will come out in the next few days on my blog at scammedbook.com, which is my website for my book. And it's talking about how security experts now are recommending not just a standard old shredder, you know, the kind with all the strips of paper, but now they're recommending micro-cut confetti shredders so that you get lots of little bitty pieces.
So it's just not the strips, it's cutting it crosswise too, and you end up with,
Exactly. So I've discovered I need to update mine because I just have an old crosscut shredder. I can't imagine some scammer sitting down and piecing together all those little pieces of paper, but apparently they do. So that's one. The other is really important is how you handle the mail. And this is especially a factor with older people because there are so many stories of people in neighborhoods who they put a bill out there or their house payment or something in their mailbox and raise the little red flag so the mailman knows to come and pick it up. Well, the scammers also know there's something in that mailbox, so let me go see what it is. And it's theft of mail, and they get your bank routing number, your account number. They get your social on certain things. So it's how you handle your sensitive information and how you guard it as you transact just the normal business of life.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. So they'll steal the mail.
Yes.
So you're better off actually putting it in a mailbox.
Exactly. What the security experts recommend is a mailbox on Postal Service property, or ideally a mail slot. I just mailed a bill for a credit card yesterday, and I made sure that I mailed it from inside.
Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I lost you for a second. Oh, I don't know what happened.
How bizarre. Let me see what's going on.
Now I can't see you again.
Well, I just turned on the video.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know why I got kicked out.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know if it was my end or your end. So let's go back to you just mailed a bill.
Yes, I just mailed a bill yesterday for a credit card, and I made sure that I dropped that bill in a mail slot inside the post office, which is far more secure.
Right. Yeah, I have those too. Our post office, we have a drive-through, so that you don't have to get out of your car, which is nice on days like today. It happens to be snowing today here in New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go in and put it through the slot too. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So those are two ideas, and another one, of course, is never ever click on a link in an email that you get, because a lot of times, even if they don't ask directly for your information, it will download malware and spyware into your computer that will go in search of your usernames, passwords, social security number, all of those sorts of things.
Right. And then the bad guys can get a hold of it.
Exactly. And what often happens is they may use it themselves, but they may also sell it on what they call the deep internet.
Uh-huh.
A good social security number, I think, will bring $50 on the deep internet. A good credit card number, I think, will bring $20 to $50 on the deep internet.
That's interesting. Yeah, there's a secondary market for all of this information. So
there
the person
is.
That stole it isn't necessarily the one using it.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. You might not know the answer to this, but I've always wondered. We get a lot of junk mail. We get a lot of credit card solicitations from credit card companies that we don't have accounts with. You know, and the whole, your name's pre-printed on there, and, you know, the whole application is there. Sometimes it is from a company that you have one type of card, and they're trying to get you to up-level to another kind of card.
Right.
I always worry about leaving those documents intact. Is there a danger? I always tear them in half.
Well, that's a good start, but really, Kaylin, that's one of the best pieces of junk mail to run through a shredder, because a scammer could get a hold of that, fill it out, send it in, and get a credit card in your name, which the pre-approved offer is really risky. So definitely run that through the shredder. And, you know, you can also opt out of those pre-approved credit card offers. The phone number is 1-800. And it's opt-out pre-screen. I don't remember the actual
the
number.
The digits. Okay. Opt, right. O-P-T, opt out, O-P-T, O-U-T, pre,
yep.
P-R-E, pre. Screen?
Yes. S-C-R-E-E-N.
Okay.
Yep. And
I'm
believe in fact, that's the website.
I'm going to write that down right now because I'm going to do that when we get done. Opt out pre-screen. I didn't even know you could do that, Art.
Yes, you certainly can. And I recommend that for seniors for sure, but really anybody. I mean, I've got enough credit. I don't need any more credit cards.
Yeah, I'm happy with what I have. I'm not looking for solicitations. You know what I used to do just to be passive-aggressive mean is I would take the reply envelope, because it's always, you know, no postage necessary.
Right.
And I would take their material and write not interested in a red pen and stuff the envelope and mail it back to them to use up their postage.
But even
that takes time, you know, and I don't feel vindictive every day that I get one of these letters. So that was sort of a hit and miss kind of thing.
Yeah, they are annoying, that's for sure.
Yeah, they absolutely are. So what would you identify as some of the big challenges that we have to face in keeping our identity safe?
Well, one of the biggest ones is the world of data breaches. These are things like I got caught up in the Target breach in late 2013, Home Depot, my credit union sent me a new debit card. Data breaches are so often beyond our control because we don't have any say over whether a retailer manages their security systems well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real problem that we face now. And seniors often don't even understand what we mean about a data breach. They know that they can use their card online or they might use it at the grocery store. There was a big grocery chain here in my hometown that was hacked a couple of years ago, and it just caused all sorts of problems. So the important thing to keep in mind is that you can do everything right and still end up the potential victim of identity theft because a company didn't have the right security systems or manage them properly. So that's important to keep in mind.
That's such a good point. I have a feeling that's going to be happening more and more often.
Well, that's what the security experts say, is that it's going to be happening more and more often. And so these are organized crime rings frequently that are perpetrating this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the world, but they seem to be concentrated in Central and Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the bad guys are extremely sophisticated, and we have to be aware of how to defeat them. And one of the best things you can do with a data breach is watch your accounts daily. Like you talked a moment ago about those dubious charges for airline tickets and things.
I was
Well,
stunned.
exactly. And I got notification from my Visa card back at Thanksgiving that somebody had gotten a hold of that, and they were charging stuff on gaming systems and pizza and, you know, all this stuff. So I hadn't been watching my account because I was away. It was Thanksgiving Day, actually, that I got the phone call. And so thankfully, this company was really watching it. So it's watching your accounts very carefully. And a lot of people say if you put a credit freeze or a fraud alert, that prevents them from opening up new accounts. But really, it's important to watch your accounts every day or every other day for anything that is suspicious.
What about those sites? I see commercials on TV for something like LifeLock.
Yeah, you know,
Do you
you
know
have,
anything about them?
yeah, there's been some controversy about some of those services. I just had a conversation with a client of mine Wednesday night about this, and she's decided that she wants to pay for the security that they bring. But you have to watch the fine print in their agreement, because I was just looking at an article on the Identity Theft Resource Center's website that says that there's an awful lot of gotchas in the fine print. So I can't single out LifeLock or Identity Guard in particular, but I would encourage people to go to the Identity Theft Resource Center's website, which is idtheftcenter.org. Wonderful organization. I met the people out there in late 2012, just after my book came out, and boy, I'm a huge supporter of what they do. And they have this great article on their blog about identity theft services. So if you go to their website and then you put in the search box, identity theft services, then that article will come up and it will list out several of the potential problems, like their $1 million guarantee doesn't really cover what they say it's supposed to. So you got to watch the fine print.
So if I'm sitting on my couch and I'm starting to realize I should probably button everything up and make sure that I'm not going to have a problem. What's my first step? What should I be doing first?
I think people should certainly make sure that their computers are well protected with firewalls, anti-spyware, anti-malware programs. Make sure that you keep your computer operating system updated. I mean, I know it's a hassle when my MacBook has yet another update that comes out, but it's really important because what that says is, oh, we found that our security is not as great as we thought on our operating system. So here are some fixes. So keep the computer stuff updated. And then also make sure that you are watching your accounts. And then to prevent new account fraud, I really do recommend that people put a credit freeze on their accounts. Now, there's a downside to that in that it costs some money, anywhere from usually $5 to $20, to put a credit freeze on your account. And you have to take it off if you're going to apply for a car loan or any kind of a credit card. But it's worth it because, especially for seniors who aren't going to use a lot of credit, but they have a lot of credit available, that freezes any new accounts from being opened up in the person's name. So that's a really good idea.
Through that individual bank,
Well, it's
you're
often
saying.
done, it's done through the three credit reporting agencies. So that's Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax.
I get
Okay.
it. So that narrows it down, because I was going to say, if I have to go to every every
Oh.
bank that has a credit card, that's not going to
No.
work. That makes
No,
more
that would be
sense.
too much.
Yeah, because it goes through those credit reporting agencies. Okay,
Exactly.
this is terrific advice. And just so everyone knows, a lot of these links that Art is mentioning, we will put in the show notes. So don't worry if you didn't get it written down. You know, if you're
Wonderful.
on the move or you're on the treadmill, something while you and listening to the podcast, don't worry about it. They'll be in the
Yeah.
show notes so that
Good,
you can
good.
find them. Now, Art, tell people where they can find your book and your website.
Okay. Well, the book website itself is scammedbook.com. So SCAMMED book.com. And I have a blog there, I have videos there. and lots of different links to resources. And I also want to point people to our new project that I and an elder law attorney friend of mine are working on. We've started a podcast too.
So,
yes, thanks. And people can see more about that at scammercast.com. And we've got 4 episodes that are live right now, and our 5th we recorded yesterday in real time. So by the time people hear this, it may already be out there. And we are covering issues related to the emotional triggers for scams. We are covering the really 11 dead giveaways for scams. We did a whole show on holiday-based scams just before Christmas a while back. And then the new one that we just did is about how trusts, powers of attorney, and the legal system can be effective ways of preventing and recovering from scams.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to check that out.
Scammercast? Yep, scammercast.com.
Okay, and can we also find that on iTunes?
It is on iTunes now, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so fun. We'll have to talk offline about how you like being a podcaster. Everybody knows I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's a great medium for getting your message out to people.
And I'm right there with you, Kaylin, because I've already discovered this is a real love of mine. I'm really having fun with it.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. So you know my spiel. You want to leave us with an inspirational story or a quote to send people off with before we go?
Yeah. The inspirational quote that I would give people is that you don't have to be a victim of scammers. In fact, with a few ideas and a few practices, I tell people you can hammer the scammers. You can defeat them at their game. It's just a question of will you follow through and do some of these things, like buying a shredder and using it, or will you change your habits around how you mail things or receive mail, because you got to think about that too.
Right.
So the bottom line is you don't have to be a victim, nor do the elders you care about, but it takes just a few changes to dramatically improve your security.
And they're fairly easy changes, you know, and
they
if
are.
You don't do it,
they
shame
are.
On you.
Exactly. And and common sense isn't always common practice, and that's what I want people to do is make it common practice.
Right. Gotcha. Art, it was so good to have you on the podcast again.
Well, thank you, Kaylin. It was a wonderful time to be with you again and all of your listeners. And I hope we can work together again more in the future.
I am sure we will. We're podcasting buddies now. This is great.
Yes, exactly.
And for those of you out there, you are listening to the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, where every Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, I speak with wonderful people like Art Maines, who can help you build a better business and live a more vibrant life, because that's what we boomers want to do. Right, Art?
Definitely. That's what I'm doing every day.
Me too. So until next time, everyone, take care. Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.